On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yes, you are. And hi, how are you? Happy Thursday to you. 17th day of June, year of our Lord 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. So we have gathered around the old microphone with a number. There's still more to come from the Supreme Court. They said Thursday was going to be more announcements, and they still have three more big ones to go. They've got, what is it? They've got the cheerleader who was saying bad, bad, bad things on social media about her school and their officials because she did not make the varsity cheerleading squad. So they booted her off the junior varsity squad. So that's literally a case going to the Supreme Court. The whole idea is, can the school discipline somebody on a school activity, even though she was bad-mouthing them on social media? So it's a free speech thing, but they haven't decided that yet. Got a couple more out there. But today, we've got Obamacare back for the third time. The iterations of Obamacare, first of all, are pretty fascinating to me because it doesn't look anything like what they originally put together and passed on a party line vote. But Barack Obama was smart. He knew that if he could get, and by the way, it wasn't exactly what he wanted. I mean, a lot of it was, but there were big parts of it that he was not happy about. But he knew that if he could get this going, it would be very hard to unravel it. So the Republicans have primarily unraveled a lot of it. And the court today was pretty clear about the fact that 18 states said filed a lawsuit, and since Congress undid the tax, and the whole premise behind Obamacare was John Roberts, the Chief Justice, upheld Obamacare because he said the federal government has taxing authority. And the tax was in there to say, if you don't buy the product, if you don't buy health insurance, you have to pay a tax. And so when they argued before the Supreme Court, they clearly said, the Solicitor General said, he was asked by some of the justices, what about this tax and this whole idea? And they said, no, it's not a tax. No. It's a requirement of the law, but it's not a tax. It was a penalty. Call it what you want. So John Roberts, even though the Solicitor General arguing for Obamacare said it's not a tax, John Roberts convoluted the whole thing around to where he said, this is a tax, and therefore it's a legitimate law because not about health care or insurance, because Congress has the authority to assess taxes. So down the road, so the Supreme Court upheld Obamacare. Down the road, a bunch of states, well, the Congress did away with the penalty. They got rid of it. Said it's not right to charge you for something if you don't buy a product. So they got rid of it. Well, it's still in the law, but the penalty is zero. They brought the dollar amount down to zero. So a bunch of states then said, well, since the whole premise of Obamacare, it was approved because of the tax, and there's no tax anymore, then it doesn't stand. Oh, and by the way, the severability clause, which I can't believe this. This really makes you wonder just how bad the lawyers were that put this Obamacare together. Because if you've ever signed a contract, it's like in law school 101. There is a clause. It's usually the last or second or third to the last clause in a contract. They're always there. And it says, if any part of this contract is held to be invalid, the rest of the paragraphs will still stay in force. So you can't throw out the whole contract. Well, guess what? They forgot to do that in Obama. They forgot to put a severability clause in Obamacare. So the state said, oh, since there's no tax, this whole thing should not be upheld. That's what Justice Roberts at the Supreme Court said. It was based on a tax. So that's the purpose why Obamacare was legal. So the tax is gone. They say, okay, then it doesn't stand. And oh, by the way, there's no severability clause. So throw the whole thing out. Well, move forward to last year. And we've got the justices were going over this whole thing. And we had the fights with Kavanaugh and all of that. And that it came up in that. But the I want to get the actual Yeah, Amy Coney Barrett. She was before the Judiciary Committee. And she made it very clear. They were asking about Obamacare. And she says, I can't comment on that sort of thing. But when it comes to the fact that there's no severability clause, I still think it still is essential that you can't throw out the whole law simply because one section, the tax section, was not held up. So she signaled it pretty clearly. And so she and, it was 7-2 of the Supreme Court said, no, Obamacare, we're not going to rule on Obamacare. We're not going to rule on health insurance from the government. We're going to rule on the fact, a technical matter, that the states do not have standing. So, if I may borrow from Roe v. Wade, the reason Roe was brought in to this was because they needed a person that was damaged. And so that's why they brought a particular person to that case on abortion. On this, they didn't have a person. It was 18 states led by the state of Texas. And so the state of Texas, the court today basically said, I'm not sure, Texas, how you have been damaged by this. So you don't have standing. So let's go down some of the lawyers that have weighed in on this today. Josh Hawley, who I think, he's trying to get his land legs as being a senator from Missouri. And he started, I don't know, I thought he was kind of pandering in the beginning, but he's been quiet lately. But he's considered by almost everybody extremely smart lawyer. He's another one of these really smart lawyers who is a senator. So they asked Josh Hawley, what did you make of this Obamacare case?
Well, I'm not surprised at the decision today. This is, I think the court has telegraphed that they were likely to head down this route. And what happened today was the court decided that there wasn't standing, that the states that sued didn't have standing. I think that's probably a dubious decision. I mean, the court, as Justice Alito points out in dissent, the court has allowed standing in cases like this many, many other times. So I think that distinction is probably not a well-founded one, but I can't say that I'm surprised by this result.
Yeah. By the way, the 7-2, the two were Justice Alito and Justice Gorsuch. But other than that, you've got John Roberts saying upholding Obamacare, Clarence Thomas, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. So the two that voted against was Neil Gorsuch and Sam Alito. So Josh Hawley goes on and thinks that this idea about repealing and replacing Obamacare, which Republicans have tried to say they were going to do, but they never really had something to present to replace it. Josh Hawley thinks that is probably not going to happen.
Well, what we've got to do is we've got to make sure that healthcare actually can be more affordable to folks and that we cover people with pre-existing conditions, but at the same time allow people more choices in their healthcare plans, get the cost of healthcare down. And we've seen that that is the absolute pressing need. Healthcare costs are way too expensive. They continue to go up along with inflation and the rest of the economy. So right now, the focus needs to be on getting costs down, on making choice available to more and more Americans while we protect those with pre-existing conditions. And we can do all those things.
I'm right there with Senator Hawley. I've never heard Josh Hawley more articulate than on this particular matter. He brings up the point that I've been making ever since Obamacare was first introduced as an idea, and that is, it's a lousy product. You would not buy this product if you could not. You do everything you can to avoid buying this product. You don't go out and buy a lousy car when you know it's a lousy car. You don't go out and buy a stale loaf of bread knowing it's a stale loaf. You just don't buy bad products. And this is a lousy product because it was put together by politicians who had a political agenda rather than putting together a product that would actually meet what Josh Hawley was talking about as pre-existing conditions, make it affordable. And that's the first name of the Affordable Care Act. It's not affordable. Even Joe Biden presented in one of the multi-trillion dollar deals he's presented in the last 6 months, more money for more subsidies on top of the previous subsidies for Obamacare, because he's basically admitting nobody can afford it. It's a lousy product that doesn't really cover anybody. Anyway, we'll go over more. We've got a bunch of people reacting. Phone number here. Your reaction is welcome. 855-295-6600.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
Yes, so this is two of the three Trump-appointed Supreme Court justices. Everybody was having a cow about it. But this is another example of it was not 5-4. It wasn't 6-3. It was 7-2. And Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett both, they voted in favor of basically ruling in favor of keeping Obamacare going. In other words, they ruled against Texas and the 17 other states. So Josh Hawley, not happy with Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, well, she did. She voted not to reach the issue, actually. She voted that there was no standing. And if you listen closely to Justice Barrett during her confirmation hearings, what she said over and over again was she thought that this case, if it did get to the merits, was about the issue of severability. And not to get too technical, Dana, but she basically telegraphed, I thought, during her confirmation hearings that she was not going to vote to strike down all of Obamacare. So, again,
yeah,
I am not surprised by this.
Yeah, no, that was painfully clear. Painfully clear. All right, so what do you think, folks? Here we are, many years later, three trips around the bush at the Supreme Court, and they keep coming up empty-handed. What do you want them to do in Washington. Because we'll go back and forth between Democrats and Republicans having control. What do you want the government to do? You want them just to leave everything just like it is? It's one option. Or do you want them to continue to keep tinkering with this product? Phone number is 855-295-6600. There's Ernie. I haven't talked to you for a while. Hi, Ernie. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing Hello? Today?
Good. What's your thought on this Obamacare ruling?
My thought on this is, keep the Obamacare. I've been on Obamacare. It was just fine. Now I'm on Medicare. I just wonder what your issue is about. You say Obamacare is such a lousy product. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Whoa. Wait a minute. You said you're on Medicare.
Now I'm on Medicare. That's correct.
Yeah. So you can't be on Obamacare. Oh, before you turn 65 when they force you. Yeah. I got you.
I was on Obamacare before Medicare, Tom. Okay.
I will tell you what my complaint is. And your experience obviously may be different because I know that, you know, you hang out on the left side of the aisle, but I think it is a lot of people that have called this program have told me they still cannot afford the premium, even though it is subsidized. That we're talking about people that don't have, that they're trying to make a decision between putting food on the table or buying health insurance. They buy the food instead of the health insurance. The other problem I have, and this I know from talking to a lot of people in the medical business, is that there's a ton of medical providers that do not take Obamacare. They will not see you. And as a result, it's harder to find doctors. Now, if you live in a big city, no problem. There's a lot of doctors. But if you live in rural America, it's a big problem. That's my beef, why I don't think it's a good product.
All right. I think it'll get solved. How do you feel about Medicare, Tom? Single payer. What's your issue with that? Because I assume you're against it. Tom.
Medicare is socialism. I like it for
nasty word
for
Tom,
a
don't say that.
I like it for a poverty program. But I really here again, there are a lot of doctors that will not see you if you are a Medicare patient. I've had doctors call. I know doctors that will not see patients that have on Medicare. I pick up the phone and call 10 doctors, and I'll bet you 5 of them say, "I'm sorry, we don't see Medicare patients." Say, "I'm a new patient. I like to see the doctor." And half of them will not see you. So it's one of those where I don't like it. No, I don't like it. I wish the government would get out of providing health care. They don't provide property insurance. They don't provide life insurance. I don't like it, but I'm not surprised that you do. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Well, prime time it is. So Obamacare survives to live another day. I don't know if they're ever going to go back and keep trying this or not, but the politics of this have been some years a big deal on who people are going to vote for, depending upon health care. Remember, after Obamacare passed, the Democrats lost a huge number of seats. People were not happy with that being shoved down their throats. But give it a few years later, and the Republicans were taken to the shed over the fact that they were fighting this, and Democrats won a bunch of seats because of the fact people were starting to like Obamacare. So is repeal and replace dead? Carl Rove chimes in on that.
I think so. I mean, I think what people want to hear is we've heard that. We know that's where you're coming from, but what is it that you're for? Now, remember, the advantage that the Republicans have is that the Affordable Care Act affects only about, you know, 7-8% of the entire electorate. That's what's covered by it. But what the downside of that is that the rest of the electorate, particularly those that have coverage through their employer, they want to know, what are you going to do to make it better for me? And Republicans have ideas they can talk about. We want to be we want transparency in pricing and outcomes. So when you go to a doctor or go to a hospital, you know how much it's going to cost. You know how good they are at it. We Republicans talk about allowing small businesses to join together and pool their risk and get the same discounts that big companies get, about allowing more people to save more money for their out-of-pocket health care expenses tax-free. There are lots of things Republicans can talk about. They just need to start talking about it.
Yeah, they do a bad job of that. It's easy to say, I don't like that. Okay, but, well, what are you for? And that was one of the problems that President Trump had with Obamacare and John McCain, of course, but he said, yeah, we're going to get rid of this. What are you going to replace it with? My thought was, I don't want them to replace it with anything. I want the free market. I want the health insurance industry, hospitals, doctors, nurses, health insurance companies to gather together to come up with the best product. 855-295-6600. I don't want some senator coming up with a product. Alfredo in Windsor, California. Hello, Alfredo.
Hello, Tom. It's been a while. It's been like what, 3 years. I talked to you, I think, three or four times before, and I was it's hard to get to your screen up your screen. I don't want to sound disregarding healthcare, taxes. I'm for the wall, I'm for pro-gun, low government, but that's a miss, low government. But what do you want to do with the health care, and what do you, I mean, most of your listeners are Republican, that's I understand that, but they come from like 9 to 10 best educated in the United States. They have the most, 9 out of 10 most fertilized state income, need help from all states. They're the poorest of all the states. What do your Republicans have idea for the health care? Because I don't have to worry about this. I have labor insurance. I have good insurance. But when I hear your callers call in, they sound borderline racist. Borderline. I remember I went down to the fair in Santa Rosa. The Republicans were talking about, hey, come be a Republican. I said, I never could be. Even though I'm talking
about Alfredo, I've got to stop you. I've got to stop you. First of all. I have a huge audience of Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, libertarians. I've got a lot of Democrats. From the way you're talking, you sound like you are a Democrat. So how did you get on? And talk about racist. Ernie called before you. Ernie is a big lefty. So here we go. We got lefty, the first caller of the show. We got a lefty on the second caller of the show. And what's this racism business? There's no racism. It's a product. It's a health product. I don't want the government. I don't want senators creating health insurance. They don't know what they're doing.
I'm not angry. Tom, I'm not angry.
I'm not saying you're angry. I'm saying you're wrong.
Look, I've been listening to you for years. My family's been listening to you for years from Sacramento.
Thank you.
What I'm saying to you is this: I'm being serious. When you call it out, you call it out. What I'm saying is, a lot of your callers, they don't have no background. They don't even have insurance down in Alabama. They don't have insurance down in North Carolina, and they're happy with that. But they complain about some other stuff. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a liberal. Trust me, I am pro-gun, pro-wall, pro-small government. I'm not a liberal. What I'm saying to you is, what's the solution? Tell me something different that a Republican or a man would do to help. I'm pro you. I'm not pro. I'm not pro liberal. I mean, serious. I've talked to you twice.
Okay. Did you Did you just hear Karl Rove? He made it very clear. Republicans have done a very lousy job about talking about things that would help people, like allowing small businesses to join together to create associations so they can buy health insurance for the same discount that big corporations get to. So the barbershop owner and the paint stop shop owner and the dog business, all these small businesses should be able to join associations to create a collection of people to be able to buy health insurance at the same rate that big corporations get to. But I got to tell you, the whole idea of government involved, does government get involved in any other form of insurance? Do you buy your life insurance from the government? Do you buy your car insurance, your house insurance? None. So right. They got involved in this. I think it's wrong for them because they've made a political football out of it. And even if the Republicans, which I have criticized them because they haven't come up with a plan. President Trump used to say that all the time. We'll get rid of this thing. Well, what do you got to replace it? It's going to be great. Every Republican says the same thing. They don't have a plan. And I'm out here in the woods yelling, I don't want you to come up with a plan. The Democrats or the Republicans. Let a consortium of doctors and nurses and hospitals and insurance companies come together to figure out how to do it. There is you're in California. There was, years ago, there was a bunch of doctors were the malpractice insurance for them is enormous. It's like a couple $100,000 a year for malpractice insurance. So these doctors got together and they formed a malpractice insurance company. Doctors put together an insurance company to insure doctors against malpractice. It was great. Their premiums were 200% less than what they had before. I mean, it was crazy good. So that's what I'm thinking. Why don't you put the people that are the providers of health care together and have them come up with a health insurance plan? Create a health insurance company. There's all kinds of things that can be done, but I don't want politicians putting together my health insurance. That's all.
Can I say something real quick? Okay.
Yeah.
I watch Fox News. I watch Fox News. I don't watch 2015, which is just MSNBC and CNN, because I know what they're going to say. Okay. I watch them. And so Mr. Rove said this 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when Trump was president. Exactly what he said. He said that. I remember he said that before. He told them, you got to do this, but they didn't do it.
No, they try to have Congress come up with anything is next to impossible. They're dysfunctional, and whatever they come up with has a political agenda to it instead of actually helping people. But anyway, Alfredo, I got to run. I appreciate the call. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, I do not want the government. I don't want a bunch of politicians putting their heads together and coming up with whatever it is. You know, it's going to be an abomination. It just is. And that's why I say it's a lousy product. Too expensive. Doesn't achieve the goal of affordable. A lot of doctors will not see you. The worst part of it is, they talk about the premiums and they don't talk about the deductibility. People go, what? That's a big word, deductibility. How many syllables is that? But the deductibility, you've got to spend thousands. Now, first of all, it's for people who don't have a lot of money. it's Affordable Care Act. So they're trying to make it for people who can otherwise afford insurance. But it's thousands of dollars out of your pocket before the insurance pays a penny. That's why it's such a lousy product. 855-295-6600. Peter in New Jersey. Hello, Peter.
Hiya, Tom. How you doing?
Hi. Doing good. What's going on in Jersey?
Good. Well, what's going on in Jersey? Same as going on all over the country. But I was calling. I've had Medicare since 1993. And I've never found a doctor that doesn't accept it.
Oh. Well.
And I'm talking.
Good.
Ophthalmologists, audiologists, heart doctors, lung doctors, urologists. Also, I've never found a hospital that didn't accept it. Now.
Hospital's a different thing, but I know a lot of specialists. I have a friend of mine who's a specialist, and he won't touch it with a 10-foot pole because it doesn't pay what normal insurance pays. And he says, I got a lot of overhead. He's a Manhattan doctor. He's got very high rent. He's got very highly paid staff. He says, I can't take the low pay. I've got to get more for my services than what Medicare will pay me. I'm not taking it.
Well, if people, all they have is the Medicaid and they have no supplemental or they can't pay any out of pocket, then yes, then that's the case, I would say.
Right.
But Medicare pays close to like 80%. Now, Medicaid.
No. Well, Medicaid, yes, that's a whole different. That's for another step down. Yeah, where they pay next to nothing. But no, insurance companies. Okay, doctors, help me out there. Those of you who work in doctor's offices, I want to say your Aetnas and your United Health and your Blue Cross and all that crowd. They all enter into contracts, right? They no longer do. That's why doctors have to join doctor groups, because they enter into contract with insurance companies. But they whack these doctors. If you get a bill for $100, they're paying them $50. You see it all the time on the insurance thing. They billed $372 and they got paid $111 by the insurance company. So. Medicaid's only, I think Medicare is only about 35%, not 50. 50% off for insurance. No, they get whacked.
That's
big time.
That depends. I keep Medicare as my primary insurer, and then I get supplemental. If you go into one of these advantage groups, that's a different story. Yes, like Aetna's and stuff. They don't pay these doctors very much, and a lot of doctors won't take it if Aetna is your primary insurer.
Peter, you may be right. I'm just looking up something. It says generally Medicare pays 80% of your doctor or hospital bills, which leaves the rest up to you. And then you buy supplemental and all that sort of stuff, which you're doing. I'm surprised by this 80%. In any case, they don't get paid as much.
If you opt out to buy, like, the Medicare, you hear Medicare Advantage plans, that's the insurance company. What happens there is you opt for the insurance company, and Medicare pays a lump sum in the beginning of the year to that insurance company, and that's it. Medicare's out of it now, and now it's up to that insurance company. And that's terrible. That is terrible. So if you can't afford
I was on the board of a big hospital chain a few years back, and I remember doctor groups, they would get into lawsuits because you and I are a couple of doctors in a group of 25 doctors, okay? What they do is they measure us and find out how much money we're costing. How much time do we spend on that patient that came in? And if you spend too much time, and they're, like you said, they've already, a bunch of these groups, they got a check in the beginning of the year. Now, they have to spread that out. And if you're spending too much time and costing the medical group too much, they'll boot you out. And then you sue the other doctors and say, you can't do that. No, there's tons of, it depends. That's the other thing. There's HMOs. And
that's all wonderful private insurance companies.
I know.
I mean, I agree that private is good, but they have a greed problem too.
Yes, Eb, yes, no question. No question about it. They're not in it to lose money, so. All right. Well, Peter, thank you. I'm glad you called. It's a good point. Carl Rove, Cut 12, thinks Republicans are vulnerable on health care.
Well, I think it still remains such. Republicans have a vulnerability on this because many Republican candidates just don't feel comfortable talking about it. And when they do talk about it, and standing up, for example, for pre-existing conditions, they don't do as good a job of telling a story as the Democrats do. Where the Republicans do well on this is when they can personalize it. We saw this, for example, in the Missouri Senate race where Senator Hawley, in a debate, took on his opponent who attacked him for pre-existing conditions by saying, my son, my infant son, my child has a pre-existing condition. How dare you suggest that I wouldn't want him to be covered? So Republicans have a vulnerability. They need to do more on it, and they're going to continue to have a vulnerability until they start talking about what it is that they want to do. The economy is going to be a top issue in all likelihood, as it is in virtually every election. But what we've seen in recent midterm elections is health care tends to be a pretty persistent second or third issue in the debate.
It was actually, I think Carl will agree with me on this, in 2018 when Democrats took 40-some seats, health care was the number one issue in the midterm of 2018. So it'll be interesting to see how this court case and the elections coming up next year, they can tie those together.